Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Andrew Mays with you on your Wednesday morning, June 20 of 2018. There is a lot of sport happening overnight, a lot of live sport as well, World Cup and cricket action to bring you shortly. But first of all, starting with the footy news from yesterday, big build-up to Friday night footy when Jack Watts may possibly meet his old Melbourne side in the Port Adelaide colours. Simon Goodwin spoke about that yesterday.
You know, Jack was a really big part of our footy club for a long period of time. He started a new journey at Port Adelaide, and obviously with that takes some time to settle in as well. So we just wish him all the best for whatever happens. But at the same time, it won't change the way we play, whether he plays or doesn't play.
Before that, though, Thursday night footy with Essendon travelling over to West Coast to face the Eagles. Joe Danaher says things are looking up for the Dons.
Yeah, definitely. Look, you know, John's had a clear plan right through pre-season and into the season currently about the way that we wanted to play, and we're getting closer to that at the moment. Jordan Ridley's come in, Dylan Clark's had an opportunity, Mason Redmond, these sorts of guys that have really earned their spot and come in and really fitting into our football club.
Meanwhile, from the soccer world overnight, currently 3-1 between Russia and Egypt, so the host nation continuing their good form. And our Asian neighbours, Japan, too good, getting all 3 points on the board last night.
Smith stays at home, and it's in. Japan hit the front again. Yuya Osako.
2-1 the final score between them and Colombia. More from the World Cup shortly. Bad news in the cricket if you're an Australian just waking up. The Aussie 7 for 220. This is a one-dayer in England in reply to England's 481. Yes, that's right, 481 the Poms made.
Lakeside, and that is the record, the world record. It's England, it's Trent Bridge, and they have gone past what they achieved here a couple of years ago. They truly are a remarkable side at the moment.
A lot of sport to get through this morning, including all those massive cricket scores from that massive total.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
And the Breakfast Club boys will be on their way. Half, Whitey and Flem is back today as well, so looking forward to hearing from the bowlologist. A lot to get through on the show. We'll touch base with Isaac Smith, who will be in the Prosper Inner Sanctum from 7 o'clock this morning. Ash Barty, Andrew McDonald, Victorian cricket coach. Chris Davies from Port Adelaide. He's their footy manager. He'll give us an update on Ollie Wines and how the deal got done there. The early mail before 7 o'clock. We'll try and find you a winner. And don't forget, Paul Banks, one of our good friends, he's over at Ascot, got the invite back from Queenie this year, so he's there for the second year in a row for us, and we'll check in with how things went on day one. Back to the Breakfast Bite, though, for the time being. We'll start with the footy news. Simon Goodwin spoke yesterday, and first of all, he talks here about the D's inability on the big stage.
Oh, it's reality. You know, we're dealing reality, so that's what the narrative is at the moment, but that doesn't mean it can't change quite quickly as well. It's a part of our evolution and growing as a team and maturing, but as I said, the narrative is the way it is, and that's the reality of what we're dealing with until we decide to do something about it. So we understand that. We're not oblivious. The noise is that we, you know, can't play in these type of games, so it's, you know, it's another opportunity for us to grow and get better. Now, we look forward to these opportunities. Those narratives we've changed along the way. You know, we couldn't win at Etihad, we couldn't beat St Kilda, couldn't beat North Melbourne. So we've dealt with these along the way.
Simon Goodwin there speaking yesterday. He also touched on the midfield battle this week.
Oh, look, clearance-wise, we haven't been at our best. You know, I think we've lost clearance the last 2 weeks. I'm really happy with what our midfield is capable of. I'm looking forward to seeing them respond, especially around the clearance stoppage area. There's no doubt about that. We're in this position to actually experience these type of games. We're looking forward to it. You know, they're a great contested ball team. We're a good contested ball team. They've got some good players in really good form, and we're looking forward to playing a really contested brand of footy.
There we go. Simon Goodwin ahead of the game. Friday night footy, they travel to the Adelaide Oval to face the Power and what should be a really interesting lineup. Now to Jordan Lewis, who spoke last night about the MRO and umpires. He was on AFL 360 on Fox Footy.
I mean, you do get frustrated at times if you give away a free kick, or you might let an outburst out. But never touched an umpire. Never even thought about touching an umpire. So I don't understand players why they're going up to umpires and touching them. I couldn't believe it, to be honest. I just could not believe it. And after all, Dusty, I don't think, would watch any footy show, so maybe he's not aware of the
in New Zealand,
hysteria mate, around right. it. But I just cannot believe it. And then when Christensen came out and then justified it in a different way, I found it hilarious, to be honest.
Jordan Lewis there, speaking on Fox Footy. Dane Zorko spoke yesterday as well. He was on our show in the morning. In the afternoon, he played in a trial for the new AFL rules that are potentially going to be brought in at the end of the year. This is what he had to say after training the new set of rules.
It was interesting. Personally, I thought the rules were really good. I enjoyed playing in that style of game. It was a lot more open, certainly around stoppages, which me personally really enjoyed being able to get clear. But overall, yeah, I thought it was actually really good. We trialled the everyone starts in their own quadrant sort of thing. That was really good. At stoppage, we trialled the key forwards or the key backs in the square, and it just opened the game up. I certainly thought that the players in their inside 50 was certainly a valuable one for the way that we certainly wanted to play. And I think, I'm not sure how Hawthorn went with it, but I think they would have enjoyed it as well. It was free, it was open. There was still the impact there, the congestion was still there at times, but I certainly thought it was a lot more open, a lot more enjoyable to play, and it probably allowed a little bit more extra time for blokes to hit that target.
More footy to come a little later on in the breakfast bite. If you just missed it before, that cricket score from overnight, Australia playing England at Nottingham. This is the third one-day international. England batting first, 6 for 481 from their 50 overs. It is a new world record, 6 for 481. Got to say it a couple of times for it to sink in. Some of the major contributors, Alex Hales, 147 from 92 balls. Bairstow, 139 from 92. Roy, 82 from 61. And O'Morgan, 67 from 30. Chiming in, Joss Butler and Moeen Ali, 4-11 apiece as well. So 6 for 481. Some of the bowling figures are remarkable. AJ Tai, who's been so economical, none for 100 from his 9 overs. Darcy Short bowled 2 overs for 23. Stoinis, 8 overs for 85. Maxwell, 2 overs for 21. Stanlake, 8 overs for 74. Jai Richardson picked up 3 wickets for 92 from his 10 overs. Remarkably, including a maiden, and Ashton Agar, 1 for 70 from his 10 overs as well. So it was a sorry-looking scorecard for the Australians. Currently, the Aussies, 8 for 230. They're not going to obviously chase that down. 252 runs required with 15 overs remaining. The best of the batsmen for the Australians, Marcus Stoinis, made 44 from 37, and Travis Head, 51 from 39. Others getting a start, Darcy Short out for 15, Shaun Marsh out for 24, Maxwell out for 19, Agar out for 25. So unfortunately, none of those batsmen able to go on and make 3 figures after getting in. So an incredible one-day international still to wrap up there at Nottingham. We'll bring you live scores of that all throughout the morning. To soccer from overnight, and the World Cup continued with another 3 games, and they were all on SBS, which is always very handy with no buffering problems at all. Japan, 2-1 winners over Colombia, so that's brilliant news for them, our Asian neighbours. Senegal, meanwhile, 2-1 over Poland, who scored very late, and currently into the 85th minute, Russia lead 3-1 over Egypt. So it looks like the host nation can just about book their place in about 5 or 6 minutes' time into the knockout phase of the tournament. So plenty of home fans will be happy with that. Overnight, a couple of the key Socceroos were chatting to the press. One of them is Aaron Moy. He spoke about his journey to the World Cup.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, to be honest. But, I'm enjoying every minute of it and just keep trying to get better and improve and keep pushing myself and see where that takes me. At the start, you feel so proud to be where you are, and you think about all the sacrifices and all the help you've had over the years. But yeah, as soon as the game starts, you have to forget that and start focusing on the game. And yeah, that's from then on, I was just focusing on what I was doing.
Aaron Moy there speaking yesterday. He also spoke about his two Danish teammates at Huddersfield as well. He plays with a couple of them and he'll be against them on Thursday night.
Yeah, before we got into camp, there was a bit of banter, but yeah, I haven't spoken to them since we left Huddersfield. So we're just focusing on our national teams, and I'm sure after the game we'll catch up and have a good chat. Yeah, the next game is very, very important if we want to get out of the group. We obviously need to get a result. Yeah, but we'll definitely be trying to win the match like we did against France. Every game in the World Cup is like a final.
Aaron Moy there speaking yesterday. Danny Vukovic has also spoken overnight. He's one of three very talented Australian keepers with the squad at the moment. He might not see any game time, however. He did speak about the mood in the squad and amongst the keepers themselves who are fighting for just one position.
The mood's good. We're looking forward to the trip and the next game. We've already started preparing towards the game against Denmark, and the boys are looking good in training, and we know we need 3 points in the next game. Yeah, we've got a good group together, along with the goalkeeper coach Tony Franken. We work hard, and at this point in time, Matty's the number one, and me and Jonesy are there supporting him, but we're also there pushing him as well. We're working hard and making sure that we're ready, that if called upon, we're ready to go. All the boys have social media, Twitter and Instagram, and I know everyone's been receiving messages of support over the last few weeks, and especially with our performance against France, we knew we had it in us, and I know the people back home knew that also. So we know we've got the whole nation behind us going into this next game.
Danny Vukovic speaking there yesterday. The score in the cricket, 8 for 234. That massive target of 482. Well out of reach for the Australians. Plenty to come after the break on RSN 927. You are listening to The Breakfast Bite. We've got plenty of NRL news with State of Origin 2 on its way on Sunday. Rugby, racing from Ascot, and a bit more footy to come.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Welcome back to The Breakfast Bite on your Wednesday morning. A few of the live scores happening at the moment. World Cup action, Russia 3, Egypt 1. 93rd minute there, so only a minute left of stoppage time. Russia heading for 2 wins out of 2 games. And Australia currently 9 for 239 in the one day are being played at Nottingham. That's chasing down a target. Oop. There goes the final wicket. All out for 239, so falling well short of the target of 482, a world record score set by the English in their innings. It has been a dark day for the Aussies overseas. Let's head to some racing news from overnight. Charlie Appleby trained the winner in the King's Stand Stakes. He spoke after the win on day one at Royal Ascot.
That's right. Look, as you all know, winning a derby has been surreal. But when you get attached to horses like, unfortunately, I have done with this horse, that was very special today. I loved him as a two-year-old, and he never let me down. You know, his three-year-old career, he came up against good horses, Harry Angel and Caravaggio, they're top-class horses, and I pay a lot of respect to them. But this horse, in the last 6 months, a lot of growing up, and we looked around the other night and I just said, you couldn't get this horse to look any better. You know, if he's a Group 1 horse or not, I don't know, but I could not pick a hole in him.
Charlie Appleby be there overnight. To NRL news, Mel Meninga says the Queenslanders have to pick Kalyn Ponga if they're to win Game 2 on Sunday night.
He's good enough.
Good enough you
pick him. You know, I mean, in hindsight, it's all good in hindsight. Maybe he should have played fullback, you know, in Game 1, but having him in the footy side, particularly with Billy there also, that's a great learning ground for him. And I think he's got enough talent and skill. And the thing that impressed me about Kalyn Ponga is his courageousness, you know. So he's not scared to put his body where it shouldn't be sometimes. So, I mean, coming off the bench, we're not quite sure what that will entail for him, but I think he's got the knack to be in the middle.
Mal Meninga speaking there yesterday about Kalyn Ponga. Kalyn Ponga also spoke himself about what his role is going to be in Origin 2.
I don't know my minutes. My role is just to come on and sort of
yeah, just, you know, play the way I've been playing at Clubland, and obviously use my skill set and, you know, the way I play. Don't shy away from that and use it, obviously, on the field when I get on there.
Mal Meninga also had his say on Jared Wallace, who he thinks should start for the Maroons.
I expect him to start, and, you know, you need impact off the bench. I mean, Jared Wallace is not an impact player. He's a, you know, he's a toiler and works hard for his teammates, and, you know, does some really good stuff off the ball as well, which is important. But, you know, Josh Papali's effort coming off the bench in game one, I thought, was exceptional. Mm. So I don't think you should change that. You know, keep him. He's a wrecking ball at the moment. You know, on the weekend, even for the mighty Raiders, he was fantastic, wasn't he? So, I mean, go the Raiders. Yes. But, you know, I think I like the mix of the team. Again, I like the look of it. And Josh Papali off the bench, I think, would be a great asset for the team.
There we go, Mal Meninga on Fox Sports last night. To Brad Fittler and the Blues side of things, he spoke about Ryan James's Origin 2 snub, even though he's captain of his NRL club.
Yeah, that was one of the harder things you've got to do as a coach, but great reaction by both players. Obviously, Matt Pryor at 31, playing his first game for New South Wales, is incredibly exciting. And Ryan James, as he has pretty much over the last couple of weeks, carried himself incredibly well, so he's going to stay around for the rest of the week, and Luke Keary as well. So that'll make it a pretty strong squad going into Sunday.
Speaking of Sunday, here is Matt Pryor ahead of his Origin debut at 31 years of age.
When did Freddie tell you when you're coming back up?
Yeah, probably like 15 minutes ago, just after the boxing session. He just pulled us aside and said, look, mate, yeah, you're going to make your debut. And, yeah, I'm just stoked.
How are the nerves, mate?
Yeah, the nerves aren't too bad at the moment. I'm just trying to stay calm and relaxed and not get too far ahead of myself. The game's obviously pretty far away, so I'm just going to stay nice and relaxed until then and probably think about it a little bit more then, but I'm sure it will hit me once I run out there.
31 years of age, it's been a long journey. You've been playing NRL for 10 years now. Yeah. Did you think at any point the Origin dream was over?
I've never actually just given up on it. Like, I was something like, especially over the last few years, I've put it on my goal list. And it's something I've been working towards for like probably 3 or 4 years. I've been trying to tick every box that I can and doing all the extras and just praying maybe one day I'll get a chance. And if I ever got the chance, I'll be ready for it.
To rugby news from yesterday, the Wallabies take on Ireland in the third test, rather. That three-test series tied at 1-1 at the moment. So this will be the decider in Sydney on Saturday night. Bernard Foley, the fly half, says Ireland defended Israel Folau a lot better in game two.
They've probably pushed the envelope a little bit. How we've got to do it is, you know, is allow him to still get a free shot at the contestable in that aerial battle, because we know how good he is. You know, whether they're doing it legally or illegally is up to the referees. You know, they'll have to judge on that. But, you know, in terms of them doing it, we knew that they were going to change their approach, and they probably had more numbers around the ball to sort of deny Israel that contest.
Back to the footy news from yesterday to wrap up the breakfast bite on this Wednesday morning. We'll hear from Tom Mitchell here, who was asked yesterday whether he thinks about winning the Brownlow medal.
I suppose people might, you know, say that sounds a bit silly, but I think if your focus is on that, you're focusing on the wrong thing. So my focus is on just in improving every game I play.
Bad news for Rory Lobb up at GWS. He's been ruled out for another month. Here's coach Leon Cameron.
You know, he's clearly, frustrated by the pre-season he had with his groin, and then he came back and played a couple of weeks, and then he hurt his knee, and then he's come back in, and now this issue. So, and to get continuity with our midfielders is a big thing that he wants as well, and we want as a footy club, but that's life, that's what happens.
It's the Harmony game on Saturday between the Western Bulldogs and North Melbourne. So a couple of ambassadors yesterday speaking. First of all, from the Bulldogs, Jason Johannesson, on how they're tracking at the moment.
Personally, you know, I've been in this position before, and I guess when your back is against the wall, the team really gels together, and that's where we come together really well. And, you know, the attitude that the boys have, and they just want to get better and want to improve. So that's we've just got to work hard and do that.
Jason Johannesson there speaking yesterday. The Dogs to face North Melbourne at Etihad at 7:25 on Saturday night. On the other side of the coin, Matt Jack Dore was talking yesterday to the media. He spoke, first of all, about the health of Jared Waite.
He did a little bit yesterday. We came back, I think it's early in the week, to sort of know. We've got our main session on Wednesday. I'm confident he'll play, but that's just my judgment. You know, hopefully the medical staff just clear him, and he's a good player when he's going, and we really love him, love having him in the side, because there's not many players like him that are, you know, it's hard to match up on. It's such a link between defence and attack, so it'll be good to have him back if he's ready.
There we go. Magic Door speaking yesterday. He also touched on the importance of the Harmony game in the context of his year and overall as well.
You know, we use the game as a vehicle to attract people, but then we want to teach young youth and make good people and take them out into the community. I think it's from when I first started, you know, it's been tremendous. The amount of work that the footy club has been able to help me and, you know, bring people into the club, teach them about footy, and also vice versa, teach my teammates, football staff, about my culture, where I've come from. Obviously not having the background like all my teammates, and starting footy at a later age. So I've had different experiences, so I've been able to share my story, and, you know, that's attracted other migrants into footy from young kids. My brothers and sisters, they now play footy out at my local footy club in Wyndham Vale. You know, I think that they've got about 15 Sudanese boys and girls playing. So I think there's a direct correlation.
Magic Door there speaking yesterday. Hunter Clark was the round 13 nomination for the NAB Rising Star. He spoke briefly yesterday as well.
Yeah, all the boys back Richo in, so to get the win for him and everyone involved at the club, yeah, it's been a pretty tough start, but those little things make it all worthwhile, I guess.
Hunter Clark yesterday. Just in case you missed it from overnight, the World Cup soccer results. Japan 2-1 winners over Colombia, Senegal 2-1 winners over Poland, and Russia 3-1 winners over Egypt. So the good news for the Russians is that they are through. Egypt and Saudi Arabia currently sitting third and fourth in that group. So Uruguay, all they've got to do is win their game, and Group A will be sorted, with Russia and Uruguay looking the likely progressors from there. Of course, Australia in action in a couple of days' time, or just under a couple of days on Thursday night. Meanwhile, in the cricket, it has been a disastrous night for the Australians in the one-day international, conceding in their first innings 481 runs. England breaking the record for the highest ever ODI score, 6 for 481 from their 50 overs. Australia in reply dismissed for 239. It definitely is bleak times for the Aussies at the moment on the one-day international scene. More to come on that, I'm sure, with Damien Fleming, who will join Half and Whitey after the 6 o'clock news. Big version of the Breakfast Club coming up after the news.
That was RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.